Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night's Jaw. Today's one of those list episodes that I like to do. Obviously, we are on the Distraction Pieces Network. Let's not forget that. Do please check out all the other Distraction Pieces Network podcasts and support the network in general, because it's a lovely place for us to do our podcasting. And to get some other plugs out of the way, me, my website, jimsmorman.com. Point people at this podcast, jimsmorman.com/TNJ. And my little wrestling company is Core Progress. I co-own that with my friends John and Glenn. And if you want to find out more about that, it's progresswrestling.com. All our shows coming up have pretty much sold out. Sorry about that. We have got a show in London on Sunday, which we're very excited about. Just had a great show in Manchester this past Sunday. No spoilers here, luckily, because the show's not on demand-progress.com just yet. But it will be by the end of the week in time for the show at the weekend, which is our 5th anniversary. More on that in a second. Also, if you happen to be going out to WrestleMania, which we're also going to be talking about during this podcast, then come and see us. We're part of two shows. We're part of our own little show, completely on our own, as part of WWN's More Than Mania. So it's morethanmania.com if you want to buy tickets. Apparently, our little show is the best-selling indie show over WrestleMania weekend, which is crazy if you think about it, because we're British. So we're on at noon on the Friday, noon American time on the Friday. We'll also be on WWNLive.com via iPay-per-view, which is the first you've ever seen me doing some ring announcing, and try not to swear too much because apparently there'll be children at the show. They're American, they're always swearing. So you can do all that with our show. If you're coming out to Orlando and you want to come see us, morethanmania.com. Our standalone show is at noon on the Friday, and then we are also doing a joint show, the Mercury Rising WWN Super Show. We're a big part of that. It is subtitled Progress versus Evolve. Some matches have already been announced for that from a Progress point of view. So we'll be there for that, which is on the Saturday evening. If you want to come along, morethanmania.com if you happen to be in Orlando. Obviously, if you are in Orlando, whether you see me at our show or you see me at WrestleMania or anywhere else around Orlando, in a shopping mall buying peanut butter related sweets for my wife, then you must high five me. Again, no explanation, just walk up to me and high five me. It happens a lot now. Happened a hell of a lot at Progress on Sunday, to the point where I've realised I need to get better at high fives. I am lame. But I try my best, you know, so you just come and high five me. It's always good to do so. So today's episode of Tuesday Night Jaw is a two-pronged list episode. Next week is a Tuesday Night Jaw meets episode. It's something I've been looking forward to doing and someone I've been looking forward to talking to for quite some time. Now, when I start hyping it up, you're going to go, oh, it's going to be a huge name. It's not. It's a British wrestler. It's someone I've had quite a bit to do with during the course of his career, but he's not super, super, super experienced or anything like that. It's not the Jimmy Havoc one that will be happening later in the year. But he's a member of the Progress roster and just someone I've got a lot of time for because of his story. And I don't want to elaborate too much now, but that's coming up next week. I'm going to record it on Monday afternoon after our show in London on Sunday. And yeah, it's a Tuesday Night Jaw meets episode that I'm really looking forward to doing and getting this person's story out there. So that's next week. Because next week would normally be the WrestleMania preview one, where I give you a list of my 10 favourite WrestleMania matches. Now, I've done that today. So what you've got today is, in a little while, we will have my 10 favourite WrestleMania matches. Before that, though, coming up this Sunday is Progress's 5th birthday. Our 5th birthday is, strictly speaking, on Saturday. But it's our 5th anniversary on Sunday. And when we started, we ran shows every 3 months in front of 350 people. And now we run shows roughly every 2 weeks in front of 700 people. And wrestling has genuinely changed my life. Like, I've always been a wrestling fan, but being a wrestling promoter and getting to be involved in wrestling, and also getting to know you guys and getting to be involved with the fans and seeing how much the fans love what me, John and Glenn and all our talented roster and all our helpers do at Progress, it blows me away. It is just genuinely, I love my life. I love my wife and my family, and I love being a stand-up comedian, and I love doing voiceover work and writing and all the other stuff that I do for a living. But there's something about taking something that I've loved as a fan for years and making it a viable thing and it lasting 5 years that blows me away. So I'm also going to do a list today of my 10 favourite Progress matches, but I'm going to use exactly the same criteria that I would normally use for any of these lists. If you're new and you've never listened to me do one of these list episodes before, let me explain how this is going to work. You cannot, when doing these lists, you cannot choose the same wrestler twice in your 10 favourite matches. So, for WrestleMania in particular, it makes it really, really difficult. Because straight away there'll be matches in your head and you're like, oh, I'll definitely choose this, but then you can't necessarily choose it. So, yeah, that's tricky. You can't choose the same wrestler twice. You equally cannot choose two matches from the same event. So, for WrestleMania, for example, you can't choose loads of matches from WrestleMania 17 / X7. I want to call it 17. You can't. Even though there's loads of great matches on that show, you can only choose one. So you can only choose each wrestler once, and you can only choose one match from each show. So you can't have two matches from each show, which has made it difficult to do both the WrestleMania list, which I'll get to in a little while, and also the Progress list. Now, what I'd like you to do this week, when you're listening to this podcast, is give me yours. I've already had a couple of people do theirs in advance, which is super awesome. And they followed the rules as well. But all I want you to do is give me your lists. Write them in notes in your phone and screenshot them, because you're not going to get them all in a tweet. Tweet me, at Jim Smallman. Use the hashtag TuesdayNightJaw. And I just want to have a look at them and see what you're thinking. See how, whether I'm along similar lines to what you guys are thinking, or if I'm just, I'm completely off out on a limb. Definitely do your WrestleMania one if you want to do a Progress one as well. That's cool. I mean, this show is primarily the WrestleMania list sort of preview thing, as we all get super excited. Because, you know, in a week and a day's time, I'll be flying out to Orlando, which I'm so excited by. Only my second ever WrestleMania. My first one was 5 years ago, 1 week after the first ever Progress show. Things have changed slightly for me, and I can't wait to be out there. I can't wait to meet new Progress fans. I can't wait to go to WrestleMania and watch WrestleMania, because I just love wrestling. It's the best, isn't it? Isn't it the best? It's the best. Right, to the lists. So, remember the rules. You can only choose each wrestler once. You can only have one match per show. Okay? Got it? Got it. Cool. Okay, here we go. So this is my top 10 Progress matches of all time. If you want to watch any of these, demand-progress.com. It's like about $5 a month. Go and watch. They're all there. Go and watch them all. I'd heartily recommend them. I get asked a lot. Oh, I've just subscribed to Demand Progress. What should I watch first? Well, maybe take these 10 matches as a list. And if you go to our YouTube channel, search for Progress Wrestling on YouTube, go to our YouTube channel. We do a top 10 collection of matches each year. Yeah, go and check those out. They're the ones that are voted for by the fans. These are my own personal opinion, and I'll try and explain why I've chosen them as we go through. Okay, so 5 years of Progress. These are the matches that I have chosen. At number 10, chapter 43, quite recent, we have the Austrian-German team of Ringkampf, Walter and Axel Dieter Jr. Weirdly, I'm going to Hamburg tomorrow for a gig, and Axel Dieter Jr. lives in Hamburg, which is a weird coincidence. So Ringkampf, Axel Dieter Jr. and Volta versus the South Pacific Power Trip. Now, the reason I've chose this is both I wouldn't say the German, it's difficult to, because Volta's so associated with WXW in Germany. The temptation to call him German is quite, but he's not German, he's Austrian. And Axel is German. And then they're both great. And the Kiwis are both great. Now, we've known these guys are great for ages. Dahlia as well, the South Pacific Power Trips. Valet, an occasional wrestler if it's a mixed gender match. And obviously she's doing great things in women's wrestling herself. So everyone involved in this match is great. All five people. What I think is interesting is the reaction that the crowd have given both teams recently. And it's a reaction that, in theory, both these teams are heels. They're both bad guys, really. But the reaction they're getting by being brilliant at wrestling is quite something. Again, both teams were involved in absolutely brilliant matches in Manchester this past week. The Kiwis were involved against British Strong Style, the Progress Tag Team Champions, and Ringkampf were involved against the Hunter Brothers, and the Hunters are a fantastic tag team. You know, absolutely have the chemistry that only brothers could get, and it was weird seeing some of the crowd go, no, I like Ringkampf so much I can't even cheer for the Hunters, who are one of the most cheerable teams in wrestling. So this match, just so hard hitting, so just wall to wall action. And even though in the grand scheme of things it wasn't necessarily a match that meant loads, it wasn't a title match or anything like that, it was still just so good to watch. And I'm super pleased with everybody involved in the match. I think they're all fantastic, and all still got so much ahead of them as well, and so many exciting things we can do with all five people involved in this match over, you know, the course of the next couple of years in Progress, which is, it's really exciting when you're a wrestling promoter to know you can do that. So that's chapter 43, number 10, Ringkampf against the South Pacific Power Trip. Number 9, I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast, was at chapter 27, friend of Tuesday Night Jaw, Jack Gallagher, against Johnny Kidd. Now, I love this match because it's old school British wrestling, but with a twist on it. And it's amazing seeing someone who's, you know, mid-20s, like Jack Gallagher, who's now out in WWE doing amazing things, wrestle this World of Sports style match with Johnny Kidd. But also Johnny Kidd bring the modern stuff to this. When I got to do the ring introductions for this match, one of my favourite things I think I've ever done is introducing the start of this match was a joy, because I got to introduce it by explaining that Johnny Kidd made his wrestling debut in 1978, which is the year I was born in, and this was him making his Progress wrestling debut. I think Johnny has retired now, and it was right before he actually decided to call time on his career. But what a gentleman Johnny Kidd was. It's very rare I asked to have my photograph taken with wrestlers backstage, but I had my photograph taken with Johnny Kidd because he's someone I watched when I was growing up and someone who I really, really appreciate. And he's a proper gentleman. He's been down to Progress since and been to watch shows and enjoyed them. And he's always welcome, as is anyone who's a legend in British wrestling, to come down. But yeah, I love that match. If you like your old school wrestling, it's quality. So that's number 9, chapter 27, Jack Gallagher, Johnny Kidd. At number 8, we have a tag team match again. It's weird because I'm not a massive fan of tag team wrestling. I think I've pointed this out a few times, but there are a few tag team matches in this list. So this is chapter 34 up in Manchester, and it's the London Riots against War Machine. This was their second match they had in their little mini-series. The Riots have been in tons of great matches in Progress. When they were part of Regression in that huge 8-man multi-man tag match that had Will Ospreay's moonsault off the balcony and all that crazy stuff at the ballroom. I'd also say their tables, ladders and chairs match with the Sumerian Death Squad, fantastic as well. They look great, and they're always great. They're always super reliable and super brilliant. My lord, War Machine, it made everybody raise their level. It's like the Riots really wanted to raise their level to War Machine. War Machine wanted to prove a point in this country. Now War Machine are wrestling in New Japan and their career's taken off. And everybody in this match, it's so hard hitting. I think it was voted number 3 in our best matches of the year by our fans for 2016. It just everyone in the match looks like a star, and it's absolutely brutal in places. Some of the stuff they're doing is insane, but they're two tag teams who work together a lot and really know how to do tag team wrestling. Some of the combination moves in it are so cool. So cool. So definitely check that out. That's number 8, chapter 34, London Riots versus War Machine. Number 7, chapter 42, which is our first ever show in Birmingham. I have Matt Riddle against Rampage Brown. A ridiculously hard-hitting match. I mean, we also had Will Ospreay and Adam Cole on that show. But again, by my rules, it makes it a bit difficult because, you know, maybe those gentlemen will be going a little bit higher up. But I love Matt Riddle. I'll get to Matt Riddle in a minute. Rampage Brown is someone who has been a Progress champion. He was the first Progress Atlas champion. For the uninitiated, that's our title belt for wrestlers over the weight of 205 pounds. We do that instead of having a cruiserweight belt because we like big lads wrestling. And Rampage was a wonderful first Atlas champion. He was a wonderful champion when he was the Progress champion. And he's just a dude who's great to have around. He's brilliant with newer wrestlers. He's a nice guy, but always super reliable in the ring, super hard-hitting. Obviously has one of the best entrance musics in wrestling. And this match was unbelievably hard-hitting. We'd already had a great show, and we'd already had a lot of surprises on that show. Finn Balor turning up at the beginning, Tommy End coming to the show. There was a lot of surprises, and Matt Riddle was a surprise because Rampage was defending his title as open challenges and was doing a great job with it. Matt Riddle winning the title there, we got a huge reaction, but also the way that the match was put together. It was because of Matt Riddle having been in UFC, his style of wrestling is really brutal. You know, he's really hard-hitting and really violent, and Rampage was exactly the sort of person to meet him head-on. And it was just a fantastic contest to watch. As a note about Matt Riddle, you may have noticed this. If you've seen him wrestle anywhere apart from for Progress, he takes the Progress Atlas title belt with him everywhere. I don't know if we're the first people to give him a title belt, but I think we might be. He's only been wrestling a year and a half, and he's super happy to be Atlas champion. And that means a lot to us that our title belt means that much to him. So, you know, whenever we get to see him over here, because we can't have him in the UK all the time, it's, you know, it's brilliant that he's that enthusiastic to be here, but also great that when he's wrestling in America or in Europe or wherever, he takes the Progress Atlas title with him and spreads the word about our company. Good on you, mate. We appreciate that. So that's number 7, Riddle versus Rampage. Number 6 is from Sheffield in December. Chapter 40, the main event of that show, which was Pete Dunne defending the Progress Wrestling title against Zack Sabre Jr. For me, this match, it's proof that these two chaps are two of the absolute best in the world. You probably know that already. You're a wrestling fan listening to a wrestling podcast, but come on. I mean, these guys are tremendous. I know people choose to boo Pete Dunne because Pete Dunne is a bad guy, but you have to take your hat off to him and admit he is incredibly good. I cannot wait until this Sunday. We announced it yesterday that the main event on Sunday is Pete Dunne versus Mark Andrews. And I think we're probably the last promotion in the world to actually have this match. They've done it in NXT, they've done it in PWG. It was Pete's first ever match, which I believe he told us on the podcast over Christmas. So it's, just the thought of that match is going to be tremendous. It's going to be off the charts. And Pete can deliver in so many different ways. You know, in against Mark, the match will have high-flying stuff in and he'll counter it in that way. Pete's match against Jimmy Havoc at the weekend, you know, again, it was unbelievable how it was put together. You know, it's a hardcore style of match, which you wouldn't think is Pete's forte, but again, brought it to Jimmy Havoc in exactly the same way. And with Zack Sabre Jr. doing hole for hold, chain wrestling, all the hard hitting stuff. It's a wonderful, wonderful match to watch. And I cannot say enough good things about both Zack Sabre Jr. and Pete Dunne. I think they're both absolutely amazing. That's number 6. Number 5, two more of the best in the world. Mark Haskins and Johnny Gargano at chapter 32, which was for this Smash Wrestling title. The pop at the end of this match, and spoiler alert, but the pop at the end of this match when Mark Haskins won was it was brilliant. And because we were, you know, in our heads, we had it that Mark was going to become Progress champion. And then obviously that got curtailed by his injury. But it justified for us that we were doing the right thing. We'd not done anything really different to Mark's character. Just realised Mark was getting cheered, let Mark take the cheers, and then just let Mark wrestle. You know, he'd been a heel for most of his time in Progress. And all of a sudden, people just wanted to cheer for him because he's dead good at wrestling. So this his match with Johnny is great. Johnny's one of the best in the world. Mark's one of the best in the world. It was the start, I think, of a chain of events for Mark getting to do things like PWG, which is just great for him. And I believe he's back in PWG in April, which I'm super pleased for Mark with him coming back off of his injury. And also, this was our first sort of big alliance with an overseas company. Obviously, now we're doing stuff with Evolve and we're doing stuff with WXW, but it was really cool to have Smash want to sort of trust us enough to let one of, in inverted commas, our guys win their title to further the relationship. I thought that was a really awesome thing to have happen. So, I can't do the match enough justice just with words, but trust me, go and watch it. It's fantastic. At number four, another tag match, the final tag match of the list, though, is Chapter 21, all the way back at Chapter 21, and one of the best surprises we've ever sprung, and an absolutely tremendous match. So, at the time, Progress Tag Team Champions, the Sumerian Death Squad, which Tommy End and Michael Dante, they came out, issued a challenge. We found a challenger for them, which no one was expecting, which was Roderick Strong and Adam Cole. And, Adam Cole, up until he wrestled for us in Sheffield against Will Ospreay in December, Adam Cole had appeared for us twice, both times as surprises, and the pop each time was massive. The pop for this tag match, Roderick Strong coming out first and people losing their minds, and then Adam Cole coming out and people losing their minds. And then the match that followed it, it set the bar for surprises that, I'll be honest, is difficult for us to top. But what a match. The SDS, fantastic tag team. Obviously, Tommy is now out in Florida. But a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tag team. Tommy and Dante just tremendous to watch, tremendously good for our tag titles as well. Really helped swell our tag team division. Because don't forget, when we started Progress, we didn't have tag team titles. I don't think we crowned our tag team champions, I'm going to say, until Chapter 12. But I could be wrong and someone's going to correct me. Don't correct me. I should know better. But yeah, that's number four. SDS versus Cole and Strong. Number three. This is the oldest match on my favourite 10 matches in 5 years of Progress. Is Mark Andrews against Paul Robinson. Now, this was the first Natural Progression Series final. The winner of the final got a title shot at a time of their choosing. So Mark Andrews won and this match is fantastic. Like, a lot of this is to do with what followed it, but the match itself is fantastic. So Paul Robinson, then very much a good guy, very much a high flyer, absolutely wonderful at what he did. Mark Andrews, you know how great Mark Andrews is. Tremendous match between two really, really great wrestlers. And we had that as what the fans thought was the main event. So Mark wins. Mark wins the National Progression Series. Eddie Dennis, his best mate, comes out. They're celebrating. He's crowd surfing. It's genuine. Everything feels properly joyful. And then he decides he's going to cash in his title shot, like there and then, against the then champion, Rampage Brown. Rampage Brown comes out. Kills him for a couple of minutes. Mark rolls him up and gets what looked like a fluke win. Everyone goes completely crazy. The place goes, the garage we were in at the time in Islington, the place becomes completely unglued. It's one of the best reactions I've ever seen to anything in wrestling ever. And years of being a fan. Absolutely amazing. And then a person we banned from the company because he beat me up on the show before, Jimmy Havoc, walks in the front door, threatens to set the building on fire, threatens to set Mark on fire, kill everybody. We have to give him a title shot. He beats Mark. He takes the title. And we went from being in the space of those three matches, one full match and one full match, one very short match, and one just beating that kind of counts as a match. We went, and again, my choice is Mark against Paul. I'm just mentioning the stuff that followed on for afterwards. But that match, the reason I chose that match is because it was the catalyst for the events after it, and the events after it led to, you know, our rise as a company. We were already doing pretty well, but that was the thing that it really kicked us into gear and made us realise as promoters and all the wrestlers within us that we can tell some pretty awesome stories. And it led to 2 years of chaos with Jimmy Havoc as champion. So it was, and it cemented Mark as a, a permanent underdog, super babyface in the company. Always gets a great reaction whenever he comes out. Because if you've been a fan of the company for a long time, you remember that he is a former Progress champion, but he only held it for a couple of minutes. You know, so yeah, is he going to get the chance again? I'm super proud of that. Number two on the list, chapter 31, my favourite match of 2016 within our company, is Marty Scurll, the villain, against Chris Hero. Hero versus villain, we build this. Special t-shirts were made by Mr. Hero. I have one. It's difficult to choose one Marty Scurll match or one Chris Hero match for Progress. Marty's obviously had more matches for us, but I don't think he's ever had a bad one. You know, Marty had a fantastic match with Zack Sabre Jr. at Chapter 1. Marty had a fantastic match with Will Ospreay when he won the Progress title. Marty has had great matches with Jimmy Havoc, including the no disqualification match in Sheffield. He is a wonderful wrestler. Chris Hero had this match with Marty Scurll, which is absolutely off the charts brilliant, but also had brilliant matches with Mark Andrews and Volta and Tommy End during last year's Super Strong Style. So it's a fantastic match that I think is the peak of both of their volumes of work so far within Progress, because it's just tremendous. Absolutely tremendous match. One of the most hard-hitting things I've ever seen. I mentioned my wife a lot on this podcast. My wife does not like strikes in wrestling. She's not a fan of forearms and stuff like that. The only person she allows, she appreciates strikes from. She likes Shibata's kicks and she likes Chris Hero's elbows. That match, tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. And then finally, we get to my number one on my top 10 favourite matches in 5 years of Progress. And that is at Chapter 20, Will Ospreay versus Jimmy Havoc. It was spoiler alert, title switch when Will Ospreay won our title. The end of a massive storyline. The end of Will Ospreay's hunt for the title. The end of Jimmy Havoc's near 2-year title reign. They'd already wrestled each other a few times, and this was the most chaotic match they could have possibly put together. In those situations, sometimes chaotic main events can be a bit too chaotic and a bit too overbooked. This was just, it was chaotic, but you only have to look at the reaction from the crowd when Will actually won the title. It is unbelievable. If I could change one thing about the match, and I genuinely think it's one of the most perfect matches we will ever have. If I could change one thing about this match, it would be that I didn't count the pinfall. Not because I didn't appreciate the symmetry and the fact that I counted the pinfall when Jimmy won the title and I counted the pinfall when Jimmy lost the title. Neither of these were my idea. They were always the wrestler's ideas and not mine. I don't like being involved in stuff like that. But the main reason, I don't mind having counted the pinfall, but I wish I hadn't, because I put my hand in a drawing pin and it really hurt. And I also got a drawing pin in my kneecap and in my shin. And I'm aware I definitely came off better than the lads in the match did. But yeah, it was an amazing moment at the end of the match, seeing sort of the end of Jimmy's reign, which was fantastic, and seeing the beginning of Will's, and seeing Will with tears in his eyes in the ring. And it wasn't pantomime. He meant it. It meant a lot to him. And both men's performance in that match, both men's performance throughout their Progress careers, and both men's title reigns mean a lot to us. So, you know, I think that's my obvious number one. So I'm quite pleased with that list. It's hard though, because there's a lot of stuff you go, oh, but what about, oh, you know, because it would be really easy to put, you know, Mark Andrews against Chris Hero in, but then that takes them both out of other things. So if you follow my rules, you can only use each wrestler once in the list. You can only use one match per show. It makes it tricky. So now, if you're a Progress fan, brilliant, let me know. If you're not a Progress fan, maybe go and check them out on Demand-Progress. But now, I think we'll get to WrestleMania.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, my top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time. Again, send me yours at Jim Smallman on Twitter. Use the hashtag TuesdayNightJaw and let me know what you like at WrestleMania. What I've noticed looking at this is I thought I would end up choosing more matches from the 1990s than I did. Spoiler, I don't think I chose any. Now that surprises me because the Attitude Era is such a big part of what I love about wrestling. And I know there's matches on this. So, right, I'm going to let you into a secret right now. There is no... My second favourite WrestleMania match of all time is not in my list because of my rules. This how tricky it is. So my second favourite WrestleMania match of all time, if my rules did not count, so an absolute no-brainer to put in a top 10 list would be WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin, a double turn match, which is an absolute five-star, wonderful match. But it's not on my list because one of those men may be elsewhere in the list. So it's tough. It's really tough. I'll get to explain my way through it and you'll be... Yeah, there'll be times when you'll probably be mad with me. And I apologise, but they're the rules. You can only choose each wrestler once or you can only choose one match from each show. Okay, so here we go. At number 10, it's last year. So WrestleMania 32, Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. I love this match. I think it was the best match at WrestleMania last year. Obviously, Tuesday Night Jaw debuted just after WrestleMania last year. and I enjoyed WrestleMania last year. It was quite long. I think we're all aware of that. And I know a lot of people didn't like the result at the end because of what happened in the main event. But apart from that, like I enjoyed it as a show. I will always enjoy WrestleMania. In the same way, I'll always enjoy the Super Bowl and I'll always enjoy the FA Cup final. Some of them are absolute standout classics. Some of them are just good shows. The problem we have with WrestleMania is we have a certain level of expectation where we want every single one to be like our favourite one from the past. That's not always going to happen. So, but I did think that this was crowning the inaugural Women's Champion at WrestleMania 32. I could easily have chosen from that show. I also really liked Chris Jericho and AJ Styles. So I could have chosen that, but I think it says a lot for wrestling that there were good matches at WrestleMania 32, but the best match at WrestleMania 32, in my humble opinion, was a women's match. I think that says a lot for how wrestling has moved on in the last 4 or 5 years. Certainly in the time that I've been running Progress, women's wrestling has changed. You know, it's no longer for purely there for titillation or to tick a box. It's there because women's wrestling is great and people really enjoy watching women's wrestling, as they should. It shouldn't matter what sex someone is, what race someone is, what religion, what sexual persuasion. It shouldn't matter. You should just enjoy watching wrestling. And it's great that three incredibly talented women put on a great match at WrestleMania 32. And I'm acknowledging it in this list. So I think it's great. And there's never any question of it getting in either. So excellent bout from WrestleMania 32. That's number 10. Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. Charlotte wasn't Charlotte Flair then. So I'm not demeaning her by only giving her one name. At number 9, 14 Minutes of Fury. I have at number 9. I have what many people think is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. I think it's a wonderful WrestleMania match. And that's WrestleMania 3, Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat. Now, when I first watched this, now, I didn't watch it. My first WrestleMania was after this that I watched. I watched this because my friend Richard, who I was at school with, had it on video. And I believe WrestleMania, was WrestleMania 3 a double video box set? I forget, the old Coliseum box set videos, the ones that were purple. I think it was a double video box set. But I remember watching, it took me ages to actually watch that show because I didn't have much interest in the main event because I wasn't familiar, because I came to it afterwards, I wasn't familiar with the legend of Andre the Giant and stuff like that. And obviously I wasn't party to the build-up to the show, so I didn't realise what a big deal it was. Also, I've been going to football matches for years, so seeing like 90,000 people somewhere didn't necessarily seem like a big deal. Now, as a promoter, it really does seem like a big deal. When I was a kid, I wasn't too fussed about it. When I eventually got round to watching it, I really enjoyed Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. Steamboat wasn't someone I was that familiar with in my WWF loving days as a sort of 12, 13 year old. But Randy Savage was someone who I always loved. I thought he was brilliant. And I don't think you'll find many wrestling fans who don't appreciate how great Randy Savage was. He was absolutely wonderful. And this, for me, set the benchmark for great wrestling at the biggest show of the year. I mean, this is still, for many people, the best technical wrestling match that probably WWF had on a main show in the 80s, at least. Certainly for the first five or six WrestleManias. I don't think you could argue there was much better than this in terms of pure technical wrestling. And it does still stand up to the test of time. It's not like watching the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat matches, the Ric Flair, Terry Funk matches that were five-star Dave Meltzer matches. They don't necessarily stand up in the same way to modern wrestling fans. I'm a 38-year-old dude. I get this. I get why I enjoy it. I think if I was to show this to my 16-year-old nephew who likes wrestling, he wouldn't necessarily... He'd appreciate it's a good match. He wouldn't necessarily appreciate that it's a great match. It's aged well, but not aged perfectly. Also, I've read too much about this match, which is why it's not higher up the list, because I know how sort of it was quite rehearsed. As a promoter, I have to sit wrestlers down and say, this is what I want out of your match. I'm not going to tell people how to wrestle, but I'm always impressed when you see wrestlers pretty much work out a 20-minute classic in 5 minutes. That blows my mind. It takes a little bit of shine off of this knowing that it was super, super, super rehearsed because it's how both men like to do it. That's cool, though. You know, it was a brilliant match. And if you're thinking about it, if I was wrestling in front of that many people, I'd want to make sure I got it right. So I'm not criticising them for that, but it does kind of take the edge off of it a little bit for me. So that's number 9, Savage against Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. At number 8... we have WrestleMania 28, which I was at, previously mentioned, 1 week after the first ever Progress show. It was my favourite match on the show, at WrestleMania 28. I did enjoy the whole show. Chris Brooker was sat next to me. He will back me up when I say that I was really annoyed at Daniel Bryan losing the title really quickly. But we'll be back to Daniel Bryan in a bit, in the grand scheme of the longer-term story, much longer-term story. I'm not mad about it anymore. But yeah, there was a lot. The main event was John Cena against The Rock, and it was huge. It was in The Rock's hometown, and it was amazing being sat in Miami and seeing the different reactions. That The Rock was super over with everybody, but seeing some people like John Cena, some people didn't like John Cena, and seeing that, you know, how WWE deal with that. But it was my first WrestleMania. It was my first WrestleMania, and I really enjoyed it. And one of my favourite wrestlers was in the match that I've chosen from this at number 8, which is CM Punk against Chris Jericho. I've been a huge Punk mark for years and years and years and years. Gutted he doesn't wrestle anymore, because I would have certainly loved to have seen him in person again, but adored this match. Thought it was fantastic. It was for the WWE title. It was a semi-main event right before Cena against The Rock, just as it was getting dark, and it was absolutely fantastic match between two fantastic wrestlers, you know. And I think it's Chris Jericho and CM Punk are very similar in terms of their sort of ability to be both very good baby faces, very good heels. Both got a certain attitude about them which sets them apart from just being a generic character. And the match itself was fantastic. So
yeah, love that match. And there's just something special about being at WrestleMania again. Like, I can't wait to be there a week on Sunday. I'm just, it blows my mind that I get to go to things like this, and that me being a wrestling promoter and a comedian and doing stuff that I like enables me to be able to go to WrestleMania. It's crazy. But yeah, I love CM Punk, Chris Jericho. I thought it was a great match. That's number 8. And number 7, this is from the first WrestleMania I actually watched on the TV. I remember my friends at school telling me about it. We had Sky. I got my mum to record it. She couldn't work the timer, so bless her, she stayed up until the middle of the night to actually record it. It wasn't on Sky Box Office, when all the pay-per-views were free in this country. It's WrestleMania 6, and it's the main event at WrestleMania 6. It's the Ultimate Warrior against Hulk Hogan. I, as a child, hated Hulk Hogan. Hated him. I think I've said this before on the podcast. I've never particularly been into super good guys. I find it hard to like them. And maybe it's because, if we're being analytical, maybe I just don't like myself. But I never liked Hulk Hogan. I never liked being... And also, I think it's partly from being British. He was all American, and I'm British, so I was like, no, not that fussed. You know, when I was a kid, I really liked the British Bulldog, and I really liked heels. So I really liked heel Jake Snake Roberts. I like the Million Dollar Man. I like Randy Savage. But I did like the Ultimate Warrior, because as a kid, there was a very visceral intensity that he carried when he came to the ring that just made me excited. Now, I know now, as a wrestling promoter and an annoyingly tedious smart fan, that this is a match between two guys who, let's be honest, are not renowned for their wrestling ability. The Ultimate Warrior was known for beating people in 2 or 3 minutes and being super intense and running around a lot and doing his gorilla press and then his big splash and winning and hooray and his crazy interviews. And Hulk Hogan was known for his style of interviews backstage, his charisma certainly, but pretty much every match that Hulk Hogan had was him getting beaten up and then hulking up and recovering. Now, what happened here is, you know when two negatives make a positive? That's what happened. Like, it's two guys that I wouldn't expect to necessarily trouble my top 10 in any other regard. Maybe, I mean, Warriors had other good matches with Randy Savage, for example. And Hulk Hogan's had other good matches. But not to this level. This is a fantastic match, and it does stand up to the test of the time, purely because the high stakes, Warriors Intercontinental Champion, Hulk Hogan's the WWF Champion at the time. It's winner takes all. They're both baby faces. It's in front of a lot of people in Canada. It's perfect. It's perfect. I think it's the perfect Hulkamania era match, even though Hulk doesn't win. I think it's tremendous. It's the best match either of them ever had as well, certainly. And for me, it was a main event that I'd already loved the rest of the show, because WrestleMania 6, I think I had probably put 14, 15 matches on it. And it felt really colourful and bright. And when, you know, you're a kid, like, that stuff's important to you. But this match was just, yeah, it was mint. The surprise of Warrior winning as well. Because even as a kid, I wanted Warrior to win, but I didn't think he would. So the surprise of that happening was a big deal to me too. So that's number 7 from WrestleMania 6. Ultimate Warrior against Hulk Hogan. At number 6, we go back to WrestleMania 30. And I've chosen the main event, which is Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton versus Batista. Now, I could have easily chosen the first match on the show, which was Daniel Bryan against Triple H, because what I love about this is WWE, a lot of the time people will say, oh, WWE doesn't listen to the fans. This is proof that they do. You just have to be patient sometimes, because wrestling is a never-ending storyline. We've said this on the podcast before. It's not, there's no season finale. It's going to carry on, and it's always going to carry on. So when I was, and I mentioned this before, when I was at WrestleMania 28, and I was super pissed because I loved Daniel Bryan and I loved him on the indies, and he lost his title in 8 seconds or whatever it was, I was so pissed about that. But all it did was led to Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania moment. And Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania moment came about because, if you remember the Royal Rumble that year, people lost their mind that Daniel Bryan, you know, the whole build of no one expected, you know, Daniel Bryan having to wrestle twice on a show and the crowd being molten for him the entire show is just oh, it's the sort of reaction as a promoter you dream of getting out of somebody. And Brian being the ultimate underdog and going into that main event and all the shenanigans all through the show, it's wonderful. And yeah, and let's not forget as well, Randy Orton and Batista did their part in the match. That match is, like, Dave Meltzer gave it like, I think, four and three quarter stars, which is a lot. And you may not have watched it at the time and gone, oh, it's a really good match. Go back and watch it. It's a, yes, I get the reaction is the big reason that people love the match, but the match itself is constructed well and excellent. So, yeah, that's my choice there. Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Batista, number 6 from WrestleMania 30. So, number 5. Where's my number 5 on my little list? Where's my number 5? Hang on a minute. There it is. Couldn't see it in my own email that I've sent myself. Now, this is going to be a point where you go, what, Jim? Wait, what? So, this is from WrestleMania 2000. Now, you'll see why. I couldn't choose a match that you're going to say, but why didn't you choose this one? And a lot of you, when you put your list together and you tweet them to me at Jim Smallman, using the hashtag TuesdayNightJaw, you will choose the more well-known match from these guys. But I've chosen from WrestleMania 2000, Edge and Christian versus the Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys in a triangle ladder match. I know what you're thinking, why didn't you? Yeah, just try not to overthink why I didn't choose the other one. We'll get to that. It's my rules that have caused that. So, this was Edge and Christian's first tag team title, which is surprising when you think about it. You think it took them till 2000 to win a tag team title? They were around during the Attitude Era, about 90, I think, maybe late 98, early 99, Edge debuted. There's still tables involved, but it's the beginning of a series of unbelievable matches between those three teams. And there's something about, when I watched it the first time round, seeing this chaos the first time round, that means you're not desensitized to the violence and you're not expecting bigger and bigger and bigger. Not that there's not a ton of ridiculous bumps in this match, because there are. It's fantastic. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before. My wife, when she was at school, her nickname was Jeff Hardy. She didn't tell me this until about 3 or 4 months ago. It's because she had kind of had dyed hair and she looked a bit like him, apparently. Which means I can never look at my wife or Jeff Hardy in exactly the same light again. But a great match. WrestleMania 2000 was I remember more WrestleMania 2000, the video game, than I do WrestleMania 2000, the pay-per-view, if I'm honest. But because I was still a university student at the time. Yes, I was still at uni. So, but fantastic match. Triangle ladder match for the tag team titles. Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, the Hardys. That's my number 5. Yes, I know I haven't chosen TLC. You'll see why. It's my rules fault. I'm sorry. At number 4, we have WrestleMania 20. Now, I've not chosen the main event from this, again, partly because of my rules, but partly because I genuinely prefer this match. So the main event at WrestleMania 20 was Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. A wonderful, wonderful match. I rewatched it the other day. Mind-blowingly good. But the match I've chosen was a couple of matches before that, and that's the late, great Eddie Guerrero against this year's Hall of Fame inductee, Kurt Angle, for Guerrero's world title. Now, I love this match because I love both the men involved in it, who I think are two of the finest wrestlers of a generation. There's no question about that whatsoever. I've been going back and rewatching a lot of Eddie Guerrero matches over the last couple of weeks and just realising how absolutely amazing he was. I knew he was amazing at the time, but having a little break from not having seen his matches for a couple of years and going back and watching him again, just go and watch some Eddie Guerrero on the WWE Network. He's so good. So good, and it's such a shame he's no longer with us. So I like this more than the main event. It also has the best, as a promoter, I don't always like roll-up finishes at the end of matches because they serve a purpose sometimes if you want a big surprise, but if you have a show where you've got 3 or 4 roll-up finishes, you can see the fans, no pun intended, rolling their eyes. But in this, it's the best roll-up finish ever, involving Eddie Guerrero being smart and loosening his boot. And they even used it. They called it back at the show later in the year as well, which is just stupendous storytelling. I cannot praise it enough. So yeah, that's number 4. Guerrero, Angle, WrestleMania 20. At number three, we go back but 2 years. I know what you're thinking. Really? Yes, really. To Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31. Now, this is where obviously Seth cashed in his Money in the Bank, won the title about 12 minutes into the match. At this point, the match was already really good. The match had blood in it, which is a rarity. That I think just came from Reigns and Lesnar just being nutcases and pummeling each other. And it was really super, super intense. But the atmosphere was a bit odd because we talked about it on the podcast before. People's reaction to Reigns isn't exactly universally positive. I think Reigns is great. I'm not going to knock him. You know, is he my favourite wrestler? Probably not. Do I think he does his job really well? Yes, I do. And if you're going to choose to boo him, you're already booing him. So it's fine. It looks like he's got The Undertaker at this WrestleMania, so he's going to get booed. It's just one of those things. But he's doing a good job and you can't say he can't wrestle. Him and Brock Lesnar, two guys beating the living daylights out of each other. And then you have the drama of Seth Rollins coming out. But he doesn't just come out and cash in and 30 seconds later he's the champion. You know, there's still more to it than that. And it's just, there's something, just watching Seth Rollins run down that ridiculously long ramp is just the pop it got for me at the time. I lost my mind a little bit, if I'm honest. So, yeah, love it. Love that match. Rollins, Lesnar, Reigns, WrestleMania 31. The start of Seth Rollins' title reign, as it were. Just sadly curtailed because of an injury. Also, the callbacks to the Undertaker match the year before. Little sort of things like this. So Reigns, I think, took three F5s in a row but kicked out, which Undertaker didn't do the year before. You know, that's a little thing that's building on something that Lesnar's done. And whilst you may criticise and go, well, Reigns should be able to kick out of it, the Undertaker, no, but you're not looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that Reigns is, in theory, younger and fitter, so would be able to do it, but it just helps elevate him a little bit. Everybody in that match came out of it elevated, and I'm still a big fan of it. Okay, now we're at the business end of things. Number two. What do you think it is? Have a guess. Okay. Number two is WrestleMania 26, The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, the second one, the no disqualification one, the one that's absolute insanity, and the last match of Shawn Michaels' career. When I was a kid, I think I've told this story before, but I remember being maybe 13 or 14 and falling out of love with wrestling because Vince McMahon on commentary one day said the line, "We're not entirely sure if The Undertaker is alive or dead." And as a kid, a fairly cynical teenager, I just went, "Nah, I'm out, I'm done." And for a long time, even during the Attitude Era, The Undertaker was always a huge personality, but he wasn't necessarily having the ridiculously good matches that he's had in the last decade. One example, I'd say, of a brilliant match would be him against Shawn Michaels again, the Bad Blood Hell in a Cell match, which is absolutely fantastic. So he could go and he could have great matches. He had great matches with Mick Foley as well. But often, during the 90s, early noughties, wasn't always necessarily given the best opponents. Then he's just had this streak of wonder matches as a Shawn Michaels. Leading up to this being Shawn Michaels' final match. Obviously, Michaels had the one with The Undertaker the year before. He had the one with Ric Flair in Orlando. But this match, I adore it. Yeah, I mean, it's so over the top. And so, I mean, it could be a New Japan main event. There's that much kicking out of finishes and going really over the top and literally going to have to kill me to make me stay down for three. But it's brilliant. And again, with Shawn Michaels, I appreciate his work in the Rockers, but then when he was Intercontinental Champion, yeah, I wasn't that fussed. And it's only through hindsight I've gone back and realised how great Shawn Michaels was. But Shawn Michaels, with his better attitude, shall we say, towards the end of his career, and putting on matches like The Undertaker, two men who, you know, should have been long retired, going faster than you'd see kids go on an indie show, it's a wonderful match. And, you know, I'm fairly sure I'm in a hotel tonight. I'm fairly sure I'm going to watch it in the hotel again tonight because I adore it. I think it's brilliant. So get to number one. Now, I explained before that I would happily have put Bret Hart against Steve Austin in this list because it's in my 10 favourite matches of all time, full stop. But that's if I'm not using my rules. But because I'm using my rules, I mean, it would not take a genius to work out that one of those two men is probably in my number one. And also, it probably wouldn't take a genius to work out because I couldn't choose TLC, that WrestleMania 17 is probably involved in my number one. And my number one favourite WrestleMania match of all time is Steve Austin versus The Rock in Houston at WrestleMania 17. It's arguably the best WrestleMania ever. A lot of people have said it's the best WrestleMania ever because of this match and because of TLC and everything else on the show. Triple H against The Undertaker. Loads of brilliant stuff on this show. This is... Austin and The Rock had loads of great matches. This is the best Austin Rock match, full stop. It's Austin's last great match. He still has good matches after this. This is his last absolutely great match. And because it involves a heel turn at the end in front of native Texans, the ending of the match is surreal and sets up a whole new realm of storytelling. So it's a bizarre match, but wonderful. Steve Austin on his podcast does an episode of his podcast. Go back through his archives and have a listen to where he talks. He basically talks about this match and how they were thinking about it going through, and there's blood involved, and there's each other using each other's finisher all the time, like they're playing WWF No Mercy, and it's so good. I expect a lot of you to choose this match in your list. But my rules make it difficult. Because I could easily have chosen the Hart Austin match, WrestleMania 13, which I think is one of the finest wrestling matches of all time. I just like this like 0.5% more. And that's why it's my number one. Makes it difficult, doesn't it? You got, 32 WrestleManias to think about. So I'm going to leave it in your hands. So go and work yours out. Remember the rules. You can only use each wrestler once in your top 10 list. You can only have one match per show. Remember those rules. You can do the progress one as well after 5 years of progress if you want, but I'm cool with that. Just do the WrestleMania one if you choose ahead of WrestleMania in a week on Sunday. Once again, just to let you know what's going to be happening with Tuesday Night Jaw. Next week, I've got a special Tuesday Night Jaw meets with a certain someone. Again, not a huge name. Depends on what you like out of wrestling. For some people it will be, but not necessarily the biggest name, but I think one of the best stories I've heard in wrestling in terms of his background. I'm really excited to be doing that. Then whilst I'm out in Orlando, I will probably get together with a few of the people doing the Progress show out there and Evolve and wherever else I find myself. And I'll chat to a few people and see if I can get something up on the Tuesday while I'm out in Orlando, because I don't come back until the following Thursday. And then I'm going to miss my wife and my son. And then the week after WrestleMania, so it'll be April the, I want to say 10th or 11th or something like that, we will do the usual roundtable with myself and hopefully Scroobius Pip and a couple of other guests, where we will actually digest WrestleMania plus NXT plus the Hall of Fame plus the Raw after it, everything. See the new direction that WWE is going after WrestleMania, about a week and a bit after the event itself. You got that? Cool. Don't forget, keep rating, reviewing, recommending this podcast to people. Give it a few stars on iTunes. That really helps. Tell people about it. Point people at jimsmallman.com/TNJ. That's super helpful. Put people at my website in general, because there's a stand-up special you can download there. If you're going to Orlando, download it onto your computer and watch it on the plane. It's only an hour. It's quite good. I like it. There is obviously, of course, as well, progresswrestling.com, demand-progress.com, and please support every single podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network, because it means a lot to us that you do, and it means a lot to me that Pip put my little podcast on his network, because we're coming up to a year of doing Tuesday Night Jaw. It's exciting, isn't it? So maybe I'll do a list episode of my favourite 10 podcasts. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. So cool. I'll see you with a very special Tuesday Night Jaw Meets episode next Tuesday. Let me know your WrestleMania list and your progress list if you get a chance to do one. I'll be very interested to see what you guys are into. In the meantime, have a good week. I will speak to you next week. Thanks for listening, guys. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.